VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be having a news roundup day, though normally reserved for a Friday. We have secured a guest for tomorrow that was not available here earlier this week, and that's attorney Matt Staver. We're going to be looking at what's taking place in a number of communities across the nation as it relates to Christmas and some of the very preposterous type of regulations that have been coming out from schools, and how Liberty Council has been engaging and certainly letting school districts know what the Constitution says on these particular issues of freedom of speech and certainly the free exercise of religion that students have. And so we'll be delving into that tomorrow. So today, a news roundup, and Lori Gotz has been very busy pulling together a number of stories here for us today. We've got Karen on the phone lines, and let's see, Justin in the control room, making sure things are getting us well across the network here as well. So our thanks to each of these staff members. Would like to begin with something that caught my attention earlier this week. We don't do a whole lot of crosstalk pertaining to sports, and this clip really does not have to do with sports as much as it does about prayer. And there was an interesting game that happened, a football game, the Army-Navy football game, and what's interesting was the opening prayer at the Army-Navy game that no doubt is going to be replayed for years. Reports the Conservative Tribune from the Western Journal. And this involves a colonel, chaplain, a Colonel Matthew Polakowski of the United States Military Academy giving the opening prayer for the game. And it was something to behold. It's not something that you would, normally hear at a football game of such stature, especially with the military. Well, listen in.
God of wonder. Some wonder why we pray for a football game. So I tell them, in this game, every player on the field is willing to die for every person watching. And there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for what's truly good. And so, God, I do pray for these players on this field and all the good they represent. Their fellow cadets and midshipmen, soldiers, sailors, Marines, firefighters, first responders, police, and countless others who lay down their lives daily in our defense. Because in your eyes, O God, it is not the critic who counts, but those who actually step into the arena. And so, Almighty God, we who are willing to die for others, we salute you. Let this game begin. Amen.
Wow. Well, that was before the Army-Navy game, and certainly a very bold prayer here from Chaplain Colonel Matthew Polakowski before that game took place. Well, looking at the plethora of news stories here today from FoxNews.com, the Trump administration Tuesday has formally asked the Supreme Court in an emergency appeal to block a nationwide ban on the administration's new asylum policy that was unilaterally instituted by a Ninth Court, Circuit Court of Appeals judge last month. The president, who has long said that the asylum process is rife with fraud, said that the emergency policy was necessary as a leading Central American migrant caravan approached the U.S. border with Mexico. Last week, a separate federal appeals court in San Francisco said that the White House ban was inconsistent with federal law and represented an attempted end run around Congress. But the Trump administration said in court papers filed Tuesday that the nationwide order preventing the policy from taking effect is deeply flawed and should be lifted pending an appeal that could reach the high court. The core of the Trump Justice Department's legal argument is that federal asylum law does not preclude the White House action. A story coming to us from the Daily Caller tells us a suspect in a 1987 bombing that wounded six American soldiers in Honduras is leading a group of migrants demanding entry into the United States. A bombing suspect, folks. Alfonso Guerrero Yola organized a march of approximately 100 migrants to the U.S. consulate in Tijuana, Mexico on Tuesday. The San Diego Union-Tribune reported that he delivered a letter to the consulate on behalf of the migrants asking for either entry into the U.S. or a payment of $50,000 per person. He's lived in Mexico since 1987 after fleeing Honduras in the wake of a bombing that wounded six soldiers. He was suspected of planting the bomb in a Chinese restaurant but received asylum from Mexico, whose government described the suspected terrorist as a freedom fighter. And now making demands at the border, either let us in or pay us each $50,000. From DesertNews.com, out of Utah, child pornography victims could have better access to federal restitution under a bipartisan bill that President Donald Trump signed into law last Friday. Senator Orrin Hatch, a key sponsor of the Amy, Vicky, and Andy Child Pornography Victim Assistance Act, called the signing a momentous day that was many years in the making. The law, which had 26 Republican and Democrat co-sponsors, allows victims to choose which form of assistance will help them most. Victims may apply for a one-time payment from the existing Crime Victims Fund maintained by the Department of Justice. Also allows victims access to images depicting them, which can be important for victim identification, expert testimony, forensic review, and also treatment. A stunning story from LifeSiteNews.com. We talk about all this freedom of access and expression and so forth, and the right to pornography. Well, folks, I want you to bear out, understand how this is bearing out in the minds now of children. From LifeSiteNews.com, a grotesque report out of Kansas City has drawn attention to a problem that has begun to grow nearly unnoticed: the sexual assault of children by other children. The Children's Mercy Hospital says that they are seeing a disturbing trend in child sexual assault cases and that pornography has a lot to do with it. Heidi Olson, who is the sexual assault nurse examiner, noted that the number of offenders between the ages of 11 and 15 years of age is unprecedented, saying, "I think what kind of shocking to all of us as we were collecting this data is that almost half of our perpetrators are minors." Olson believes that the sort of sexual assault is a learned behavior. Nurses are finding more and more that pornography is playing a role in these cases. They can include a victim being forced to see porn, a victim reporting that the perpetrator said that they'd watch porn before being forced to do something shown in a pornographic video. Many young perpetrators admit that they are acting out what they have seen in pornography. The Economist recently published a report indicating that pornography was spurring children, nearly always boys, to sexually assault other children, nearly always girls, and that experts were calling for access to pornography to be restricted as a result. In the United Kingdom, for example, the police apparently received nearly 40,000 reports of children sexually assaulting other children, including 2,625 alleged instances taking place on school grounds. Pornography is grooming boys to be predators and girls to be victims. A very, very disturbing report. And folks, the access to pornography is so prolific here today. Whether it be the internet or phones or social media, and on the list goes. Are you monitoring what is going on through your child's social media and phones and iPads and everything else that's involved? The Washington Free Beacon, reporting that President Donald Trump announced his nominations for U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. and Attorney General last Friday. Heather Nauhert was tapped to replace U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley. William Barr, nominated to replace the acting Attorney General, Matthew Whitaker, whom was appointed after Jeff Sessions resigned. William Barr is an attorney. He worked in the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel and as Deputy Attorney General. President George H.W. Bush had appointed him to serve as Attorney General in 1991. He was unanimously confirmed previous by the Senate by voice vote. He served through the end of Bush's presidency. Then Senator Joe Biden, serving as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, said at the time that Barr would be a fine attorney general. Also, Naert is currently the State Department spokesperson. A former Fox and Friends anchor has been nominated for this position of the UN ambassador from the United States. The Washington Free Beacon reports President Donald Trump signed a bill into law Tuesday that would help channel U.S. humanitarian and rebuilding assistance to Christians, Yazidis, and other religious and ethnic minorities in Iraq and Syria who were the victims of ISIS genocide. It also enables the State Department, in collaboration with other federal agencies, to conduct criminal investigations and apprehend individuals identified as alleged ISIS members and to identify warning signs of genocide and threats of persecution. Additionally, it encourages foreign governments to identify suspected Islamic State perpetrators in security databases and security screenings to assist with their capture and their prosecution. Coming from the White House, President Donald Trump says the wall will get built. A lot of the wall is built. It's being very effective, he said. The numbers back him up. It's time for Congress to step up and finish the job, he says. Building the wall at key sections of the border caused illegal traffic to drop by 90% or more in the years that followed. The White House released statistics that show in San Diego, California, where the wall was built in 1992, illegal traffic dropped 92% over 23 years. In El Paso, Texas, illegal traffic dropped 95% in 22 years. Tucson, Arizona, built in 2000, illegal traffic dropped 90% over 15 years. Yuma, Arizona, built in 2005, illegal traffic dropped 95% over 9 years. There indeed was a very testy time in the Oval Office of the White House that was aired before the public between the president and the speaker-elect Nancy, well, not elect, the presumed speaker Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader. And certainly their views were made known. President Donald Trump is adamant that that wall needs to be built for the security of our nation. Well, an interesting story has come forth. The Pamela Geller reports on PamelaGeller.com that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the newly elected congresswoman from New York, well, she has compared the situation of those would-be immigrants in the famous caravan from Central America, who she claims are simply turned away at the American border. She compares them to Jews fleeing the Nazis. The Jewish refugees face not the possibility of violence, but the certainty of being murdered in the concentration camps by the Nazis. They were fleeing torture and death by the millions. 6 million were murdered, had no place to find refuge. Back in 1938, only one of the 32 countries represented offered to take in any refugees. That single exception was the Dominican Republic that took in 500 Jews. The thousands of Central Americans cannot be compared to the Jews, as were the Nazi murders that took place. Coming to us from the NewAmerican.com, following the lead of President Donald Trump and Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, governments across Europe and beyond are refusing to join a controversial United Nations agreement aiming to accelerate mass immigration into the West. Basically, under the UN plan, migration and taxpayer-funded benefits are to be transformed into a human right while governments crack down on criticism. Folks, we're going to pick up with the story after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, today's a heavy topic. Is there a scientific explanation for suicide bombers?
Chris, our world today is on edge because of a suicidal terrorist. Since evolution claims to be a theory of everything, there must be an evolutionary explanation for even this self-destructive behavior. And sure enough, some evolutionists are now saying that suicidal tendencies are a variation of an evolutionary adaptation that was previously useful in some evolutionary sense. Creationists just stand back and wonder how they can be so misguided, so deceived. The Bible says that man was created initially in a very good state, in the image of God. Yet when Adam rebelled against God's order, creation was permanently distorted, and now we live in a world dominated by sin's ruinous effects. Chris, so you see, what began back in Genesis continues today, even with suicidal bombers.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
light of accommodating Matt Staver's schedule, he'll be with us tomorrow on Crosstalk. So we're having a news roundup today on the program to address just a number of issues going forth in the news. We're talking about this global rebellion that's coming up against the United Nations on this migration issue, because we now have countries that are coming together. The UN has been pushing for migration to be a human right. And this past December 5th, we have Slovakian and Bulgarian authorities, followed Austria, Israel, Poland, Australia, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic, along with Croatia and other free nations, announcing that they will not be signing up to the UN scheme. And folks, globalists are absolutely outraged at this resistance, believing that migration is a human right. You know, countries without borders. That is what it is being pushed for. You see, this whole aspect of the Trump administration and pushing for a nationalism in that there's a patriotism and first allegiance to our own nation coming under great criticism. The German chancellor just launching out against him and that philosophy recently because it's upsetting this new world order, that it's upsetting the global order. From FoxNews.com, Michael Cohen, the president's former fixer, who once famously claimed that he was willing to take a bullet for Donald Trump before later turning against his boss, sentenced to 3 years in prison Wednesday by a federal judge in New York after pleading guilty to numerous crimes while cooperating with prosecutors. From Fox Business, President Trump's national security advisor John Bolton says he expects the president to hold a second summit with Kim Jong-un shortly after the new year because the North Korean leader hasn't lived up to commitments he made during the first meeting. They haven't lived up. He said we need to meet again. Interesting matter here as well. From the Western Journal, Vice President Mike Pence stepped in to cast a tie-breaking vote in the Senate on Tuesday, confirming Jonathan Cobes as a judge on the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Pence's move came after Arizona Republican Jeff Flake joined with Democrats to oppose Cobes' nomination, The Hill reported. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Flake has stated he's going to vote against all nominees, all judicial nominees, until such time as the Senate takes up a vote to protest the, to protect the Mueller investigation into Russian collusion. And until such time as they will vote on that issue, he is going to be in opposition to all of President Trump's nominees coming before the U.S. Senate. A story from the Daily Caller tells us about President Donald Trump's nominee for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission survived his confirmation vote. That would be a week ago, last Thursday, returning a GOP majority to the powerful federal agency. This is Bernard McNamee. His pick to become a member of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission won a confirmation by a 50-49 vote. Razor-thin margin fell along party lines, with Democrats sharply opposing his nomination. Democrats on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee initially took umbrage with his past work in the Department of Energy. Then they discovered what they called this controversial video surfacing in late November. And in that video, McNamee has heard trashing renewable energy, environmentalists, and the concept of global warming. As a result, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who had initially voted for him in committee, now came out in opposition to him. Can't speak against global warming. The Washington Examiner reports in a new report that warns that the electric grid is the prime targets of terrorists. Americans are being urged to prepare for up to 6 months without electricity, transportation, fuel, money, and health care. People no longer keep enough essentials within their homes, reducing their ability to sustain themselves during an extended, prolonged outage. We need to improve individual preparedness, said a just-published report to President Trump. There needs to be more individual accountability for preparedness, adds the report, surviving a catastrophic power outage from the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council, published by the Department of Homeland Security. The report, it's a draft to be voted on this week by the council, is a second in 1 month to warn of a profound threat to the electric grid from terrorism and naturally occurring events like a solar storm or flare. Now, what's interesting in all of this is that there have been planes that have been flying, Russian strategic bombers flying over the Caribbean with Venezuelan jets. Two Russian strategic bombers held joint exercises with Venezuelan fighter jets over the Caribbean this week. Those are to be ending tomorrow, according to the White House. And as the CNSNews.com reports, the arrival of the nuclear-capable bombers, the Tu-160s, the third visit of its kind to Venezuela in a decade, sparked tense exchanges, or I should say terse exchanges, as officials in Washington, Moscow, and Caracas criticized each other's spending priorities. But now we have Russia flying missions or maneuvers with Venezuelan aircraft over the Caribbean. Should there be concern over the grid system here for the United States? An interesting story also came out last Friday from the NewAmerican.com about the United States exported more crude oil than it imported the last week of November for the first time since 1943. Just last month, U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke announced that we are the largest oil and gas producer on the face of the planet, rolling through 11 million barrels of oil a day on our way to 14 million barrels of oil a day. And along the way, reducing the influence of OPEC. And by the way, Breitbart on this topic says that the U.S. Department of the Interior announced last Thursday that the Permian Basin's Wolfcamp Shale and Bone Spring Formation, spanning parts of West Texas and eastern New Mexico, hold the largest potential oil and gas resources ever discovered. Federal surveyors note that the Bone Spring plays could offer roughly seven times the amount of oil as the Bakken Shale in North Dakota. Very interesting indeed. Well, The Hill's reporting about Nancy Pelosi, who has agreed to a term limit deal yesterday that ensures her election to a second stint as House Speaker, but also makes it certain that her speakership will end after a maximum of four more years. The decision secures Pelosi the backing of some of the most vocal critics, leaving a crumbled opposition behind. A troubling story that came out from thenewamerican.com. As they report of Breitbart News reporting that the New Jersey State Police have refused to rule out house-to-house enforcement of the state's high-capacity magazine ban and correspondence from the Garden State's law enforcement agency to the news organization. As of December 11th, it is a fourth-degree felony in New Jersey to possess a large-capacity ammunition magazine, which is defined as a box, drum, tube, or other container which is capable of holding more than 10 rounds of ammunition to be fed continuously and directly therefrom into a semi-automatic firearm. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals handed down an opinion last week declaring that the New Jersey ban to be constitutional. A fourth degree felony, having that magazine that can hold more than 10 rounds. FoxNews.com reports that an East Germany Stasi secret police identification card belonging to a young Vladimir Putin has been found tucked away in a drawer in Dresden. The document issued in the mid-1980s contains a picture of the now Russian president with his typical stone-faced expression but with a bit more hair. The card apparently had remained hidden inside the archives for nearly three decades until it was found this month by a U.S. historian who was digging through the records. Up to now, it was unknown that Putin, who had worked as a KGB agent in Dresden until 1990, was in possession of this ID. Very interesting indeed. Oh, by the way, WND.com reporting that the U.S. Commerce Department approved a deal by Boeing to sell a satellite containing top-secret military technology to a startup company financed by the Communist Chinese government. After the Wall Street Journal reported the deal Tuesday, Boeing backed out, citing default for non-payment, the paper reported. But intelligence experts says, such as Admiral Dennis Blair, a former U.S. Director of National Intelligence, are baffled by the Commerce Department's approval. Thomas Lifson, editor of the American Thinker, said the journal deserves huge kudos for uncovering a genuine scandal involving national security. The journal reported workers at a Boeing plant in Los Angeles were nearing completion of a new satellite that uses restricted technology relied on by the U.S. military. According to corporate records, court documents, and people close to the project, the satellite was being funded by Chinese state money. The technology, the journal reported, would help fill in a missing piece of the puzzle for China as it seeks to secure its status as a superpower along the U.S. It would bolster China's burgeoning space program as well as initiatives to dominate cutting-edge industries and expand its influence in the developing world. Folks, it's unbelievable that the U.S. Commerce Department approved this deal to sell this satellite containing top-secret military technology to a startup company that was financed by the communist Chinese government. From LifeNews.com, a federal court issued an order Tuesday that permanently prevents the federal government from enforcing the Affordable Care Act's abortion pill mandate against six Christian organizations that were represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom. The order also declares that the mandate violates the organization's rights protected by the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. From Phyllis Schlafly, Eagles, the Ohio Senate passed the heartbeat bill by a vote of 18 to 13. This bill passed by the Ohio House last month would protect all babies in utero once their heartbeats are detected, an estimated 20,000 babies per year. The heartbeat bill will now head back to the House where they will vote on changes made by the Senate and then to Governor Kasich's desk for a signature. We understand in the past that Governor Kasich has previously vetoed such a bill. Organizers are encouraging people to be contacting the Ohio governor to quickly sign this into law once he receives it. LifeNews.com says an Oklahoma bill filed Thursday would prohibit, would prohibit all abortions in the state and make the killings of unborn babies a felony. News Oklahoma reports that State Senator Joseph Silk filed Senate Bill 13 after a similar bill failed in the state legislature in 2017. The bill would prohibit the killing of unborn babies without exception and amend the definition of homicide to include all abortions, according to the report. It appears that both abortionists and mothers could face criminal charges for aborting an unborn baby under the legislation. It seems unlikely, LifeNews.com reports, that the bill will be approved by the state legislature. Historically, the pro-life movement has opposed punishing mothers who have had abortions, but we're certainly going to see what happens with the Senate Bill number 13 as it goes into the legislative picture here for the Senate in Oklahoma. Also being reported from LifeNews.com, Nashville is abortion-free after a Planned Parenthood in the city stopped aborting unborn babies last week. The abortion chain ran the only abortion facility in Nashville after another independent abortion business closed earlier this year, the Tennessean reports. Now there are six abortion facilities left in Tennessee, but Nashville now being abortion-free. We're going to be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. We have several more stories we'd like to bring to your attention today, and then we'll give you opportunity to call in and share your thoughts on the issues. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny. Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for, that not only changes his life, but that of others as well. Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. You may also write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day today. Again, Lord willing, we'll be having Matt Staver with us tomorrow from Liberty Council and talking about a number of issues that they've gotten involved with this Christmas season and some of the very ridiculous things that are going on by school districts across the country here. Speaking of Liberty Council, the press release that came forth from Liberty Council on Tuesday of this week says that the Florida Board of Medicine has revoked the medical license of Florida abortionist James Scott Pendergraft IV. Pendergraft was arrested during a traffic stop in 2015 in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Deputies found illegal drugs, including fentanyl, LSD, and marijuana in his vehicle, along with bloody abortion instruments with tissue still attached, used in illicit home abortions. Well, upon his arrest in October 2015, Sheriff Chuck Wright stated in a press conference, he said, "We've got a guy and a girl early in the week that was a traveling abortionist. He traveled around the state of South Carolina without a medical license, with drugs and with medical tools, performing in-home abortions. So basically, he's the sheriff said, we got an illegal baby killer." LifeNews.com reports that pro-abortion Democrats introduced a bill in the U.S. House this week that would force the government to declare the killing of unborn babies a human right. The pro-abortion bill, the Reproductive Rights Are Human Rights Act, would require the U.S. State Department to include abortion on demand and other reproductive rights in its annual human rights report. What about the rights of the human baby? Also, a troubling story from LifeSiteNews.com in the state of Michigan. In October, police found 36 preborn babies kept in cardboard boxes and an additional 27 in freezers at Detroit's Perry Funeral Home. The Michigan Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs quickly shut down the facility, while last week's raids on two cemeteries are a continuation of the investigation into the Perry Funeral Home, triggered by a tip claiming that between 100 and 125 fetuses were being improperly stored on the grounds of Gethsemane Cemetery. When police arrived, they found 104 fetuses in a crypt, of which 17 were deemed to be not in compliance with burial regulations or lacking proper documentation. The Detroit Police Chief James Craig at a news conference said, "As a seasoned law enforcement professional, I have not seen anything or had to deal with anything like this in my entire career." They discovered nearly 450 fetal remains at the two cemeteries. And you know this mantra you hear? Oh, abortion, abortionist, Planned Parenthood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We care about women. This is all about women. From LifeNews.com, a woman who received an abortion at the preterm abortion facility in Cleveland, Ohio, was forced to call 911 for an ambulance for herself after she was put out of the facility at the end of the business day while still hemorrhaging from her abortion. The incident occurred on November 9th. At approximately 5:50 p.m., the 911 recording obtained by local pro-life activist Fred Sokol was also photographed. The incident revealed that the 25-year-old patient had an abortion at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, was released despite her heavy bleeding because the clinic was closing and workers just wanted to leave for the day. The caller explained to the 911 dispatcher, "Like they just left me bleeding like this." The dispatcher asked, "Is the bleeding heavy?" "Yes," the caller replied. Well, the bleeding woman was finally transported by ambulance to Metro Health Hospital for further treatment, according to a heavily redacted CAD printout. Oh, yes, we care about the women. By the way, we reported about this tragic shooting with Jimmy DeYoung Jr. yesterday on the program pertaining to the Israelis that were shot waiting at a bus stop. This past Sunday, this drive-by shooting, Palestinian terrorist. Seven Israelis were hit, including a 21-year-old pregnant woman. The baby was born then premature. Doctors were forced to deliver the baby by emergency C-section. Well, the premature baby died yesterday, despite doctors' efforts to keep him alive, and the baby was subsequently buried last evening. Troubling times, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just share a couple other stories here with you. A gunman who opened fire near a popular Christmas market in the French city of Strasbourg shouted the Arabic phrase, "Allahu Akbar," meaning "Allah is greater," Now, folks, when you listen to secular media, they'll say Allahu Akbar means God is great. That's not what it means. We've interviewed Usama Dakdak many, many times on this program. It means Allah is greater. In other words, my God is bigger than your God. Allah is bigger than any God. He is bigger. And that's what he shouted at the time of the attack, also carrying a knife, a Paris prosecutor said Wednesday. The suspect killed two people, left one on life support, no chance of recovery, said the Paris prosecutor, Remy Heitz. Well, they've been searching for the suspect, but listen to this statement. Now he goes, this gunman, shouting out that Arabic phrase, Allahu Akbar, meaning Allah is greater, Allah is bigger. But the deputy interior minister, Laurent Nunez, told Inter radio station that authorities could not confirm that the suspect had terrorist motivations. Cannot confirm that. A story from CNSNews.com says one of the first two Muslim women elected to the U.S. Congress took a snide dig on Twitter at the vice president. At Vice President Pence for sitting with eyes closed during a heated Oval Office meeting, posted a photo and then wrote this caption, Jesus, take the wheel. In other words, they're trying to mock him as if he is in prayer, telling Jesus to take the wheel. And the other incoming Muslim congressman applauded the insult. We're talking about Ilhan Omar. Her tweet, she is newly elected to represent Minnesota. It ended with that hashtag border wall, a reference to the contentious issue discussed during the meeting at the White House in the Oval Office with the president and Senate majority, the House minority leader Nancy Pelosi at the time and Chuck Schumer. The second Muslim woman elected to the House, Palestinian American Congresswoman, the Rashida Tlaib, also liked the tweet. Pence, whose strong Christian faith has become fodder for liberal critics, was also mocked on social media for sitting impassively during this meeting as the president wrangled with Schumer and Pelosi. Folks, it was not his place to speak up at this meeting. The president invited the press in for a time and then excuses them for then to go into negotiations, but it was not the vice president's purview to be speaking up during this time. But I find it very interesting where you have a Muslim woman elected now to the U.S. Congress, who is taking a swipe at him, posting a picture at a point when his eyes were closed with the caption, Jesus, take the wheel. And somehow this is okay. Now, if the tide, if it were turned, if the coin were on the other side and found the new incoming Muslim congresswoman with her eyes closed with the caption, Allah, take the wheel, folks, there would be outrage across this nation, intolerance, Islamophobia would be shouted from the rooftops, forcing to resign. And yet we seem to wink at this across the nation. It's okay to mock Christianity. It's okay to mock Jesus Christ. But don't you dare mention Allah or Muhammad in a way that would be disparaging. Let's open our phone lines today. If you want to comment on these stories or other current news-related issues, there's so much going on this week. I've got a stack half as much that I never got to today. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. You're welcome to join us here on Crosstalk today with your comments. By the way, I found this very interesting. College students are demanding 8 hours of sleep per night. Causes advanced by Democratic Socialists are many: tuition-free college, universal health care, a federal jobs guarantee, a living wage, and so much more. Now they're adding a new right to the list, the right to 8 hours of sleep per night. Apparently gone are the days when pulling an all-nighter is a rite of passage for college kids. This is from the College Fix. A group of Democratic Socialist students at the Georgia Institute of Technology has launched a campaign demanding that college leaders allow for 8 hours of sleep every night. We're beginning our 8 hours campaign. If you're not getting enough sleep due to a real commitment to the health of every student, everyone deserves 8 hours of sleep, stated in an email from the Young Democratic Socialists of America at Georgia Tech. More recently, on December 6th, it published an open letter to the university president, George Peterson, outlining their formal grievances regarding mental health on campus and alluding to students suffering sleep cycles. The letter calls for university to hire more counselors and psychiatrists and demands that the campus make classes easier and less competitive and reduce student coursework. Making demands. We demand to have 8 hours of sleep per night. What a luxury. Well, let's take your calls here today on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
My comment is this. The Army-Navy game exemplifies that there's still a real patriotic spirit in the U.S., and better yet, it was preceded by that great prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that the commander-in-chief attended that game.
Yes, he did.
Because it identifies him with not only, you know, both a pro-God and a pro-U.S. event. This is the way the U.S. has been, and it still should be, and hopefully still will remain.
Thank you for the comment, Mark.
Thank you.
Let's go to Ron in Washington. Ron, you're on the air.
Yes, I think one of the biggest problems is education. They call it education. They call it indoctrination. I teach in it. I substitute teach all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I can assure you that our kids are not only being brainwashed to be socialist, globalist, absolutely hate the free enterprise system,
yeah.
They're being racially polarized, but they're being groomed to be compliant victims of sex predators. I look down my nose at anybody who would send their kids there or willfully send their money to those godforsaken place that is our education. They call it education system now. And this the 4 years of college, this be 4 more years of indoctrination to be socialists and globalists.
Hmm. Thank you, Ron, for your thoughts. Bill is next in Blue River, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, brother, I appreciate your show, Jim. I was just in concern with these houses burning in California. Is possibly elected. I've heard that it might be associated with the smart meters. Have you heard anything on that? And if so, would you maybe in the future conduct a show on it? I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, Bill, thank you. I have not heard any connection between the fires and the smart meters in the California fires, though we have done programs in the past on the smart meters and some which have caused fires. Tom DeWeese at the American Policy Center is very well versed on the smart meters, but I've not seen anything that's linked any kind of connection to those fires in California with the meter.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call. Robert in Fort Scott, Kansas, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, I just was curious. Haven't heard anything about a CBB in the news lately. And I'm just wondering if anybody's going to provide her with asylum.
Yeah, the last word I saw is that she was still under protection, that there had been no nation, a nation that had opened up for her to obtain asylum. I know that there was a push here within the U.S., but I have not seen anything late come out on the issue.
Okay, well, I guess she's still alive, and that, at least that's good.
To our knowledge, yes. Thank you, Robert.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to take a quick break and then back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk, where our number is 800-733-9829. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Recently, for 2 days in our television studio, we had Billy and Karen Vaughn. Their son was a Navy SEAL, part of SEAL Team 6. He was one of 17 Navy SEALs shot down in their Chinook helicopter in August of 2011 in Afghanistan. Their story is tragic at many levels. But one thing that has come out is that at the Pentagon, we have a deep state. Just as we have a deep state in the intelligence community, there's a deep state at the Pentagon. This family has been lied to over and over. And Billy Vaughn has gone on a personal mission of investigation. And he has talked to literally thousands of military families. What's the common theme? Many of them are being lied to by the top brass in the Pentagon about how their loved ones died. We now see war heroes
being prosecuted by our government for fighting jihadis. We have a deep state in the Pentagon.
Indeed, the latest news we had on Asiya Bibi came out actually last month in November, in which the ruling was that the Pakistan was not allowing her to leave the nation. So that's the latest update we have there. Just before we go back to calls, one other story that came from the New York Daily News yesterday. You know, and it surrounds the Boy Scouts of America. And, you know, first, they had their Supreme Court protections, and then they capitulated and bringing in homosexual scouts. And then we saw, you know, homosexual leaders and transgenders and then girls to the Boy Scouts. Well, this story just came out yesterday. Boy Scouts of America, New York Daily News. Boy Scouts of America may file for bankruptcy following lawsuits over sexual abuse allegations. Amid failing membership and the rising cost of battling lawsuits, Boy Scouts of America is reportedly weighing filing for bankruptcy. The decades-old youth organization has hired a law firm to look into Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing, according to the Wall Street Journal. Since its peak in the 1970s, Scouts has seen massive drops in membership, including 610,000 in the last 2 years. The larger issue is the influx of lawsuits related to sexual assault allegations, some going back many years. Back to the phone lines, we have Linda calling from Sardinia, Ohio. Hi, Linda, you're on the air.
Hi, this is, I think that these college kids that are demanding 8 hours of sleep, they need to be cutting back on their party time.
Hmm.
And I got a movie, a DVD, A Matter of Faith, from Across Talk about two years back.
Yeah.
And they say that they're still being taught evolution and all that other stuff in schools. And we really need to pray for our schools and our colleges, because they're taught a bunch of lying rot and the sex edge. Well, anyway, we just going to have to pray.
A lot of brainwashing going on.
Oh, yes. Thanks.
Thank you for the call, Linda. Lee is next in Marana, Arizona. You're on the air, Lee.
Yes, Jim. Good afternoon. I would have to say I agree with their previous caller. I think her name was Brenda, when she talked about the college kids.
Oh, Linda.
Cut back on the partying and the cell phones and go to sleep. That's how you get the hours. You're a dog. We don't need to give you. And another thing, as far as the boys' club and the girls' club, you know what? That's the cost of compromise, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, have a blessed weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Lee. Billy in Cherokee, Kansas, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, Brother Jim. I just a thought when you'd mentioned about the college students that were demanding for their 8 hours of sleep, and I mentioned a screener, if somehow it was set up to where they had the lights, everything was completely shut off and shut down by 10 p.m. and automatically kick on at 6 a.m., it would give them their 8 hours that they're asking for. But I think in a lot of it, they're getting so educated beyond the point of common sense, and they're losing the thought of understanding what terms like freedom really are.
Yeah.
And freedom has a very high cost. And one of the things that's so costly about freedom is discipline. And that's just one. Another one is self-denial. And there's a lot of aspect that goes with the Christian walk with that. But freedom, anyone that says it's free doesn't understand and has no freedom, really.
Thank you.
But just want to share those thoughts today. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Billy. Mick is next in Milwaukee. Hi, Mick. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about the lady who is a Muslim elect, and she was belittling our vice president. I was wondering if you could re-give us that information, and then I would encourage all listeners to call their congressmen and their senators to have them speak out about this, what I consider violence.
Well, it's not violence, but certainly is mocking his faith. And this was an article on CNSnews.com. CNSnews.com. Headline, Incoming Muslim Congresswoman Mock Pence's Christian Faith. And this is a case in which this was the heated exchange that happened in the Oval Office. President Trump is there, Vice President Pence. We have Chuck Schumer there, Nancy Pelosi. And a photographer got a time when his eyes were closed. Now, virtually you blink and you can get somebody to get you with your eyes closed. But during this exchange, Muslim-elect congresswoman put this photo up with the caption, Jesus, take the wheel, as if to mock him as he's in prayer, like, you know, we got to get out of this mess here with all this bickering back and forth. Jesus, take the wheel. But certainly a mocking of his faith.
Well, I thank you for that information, and I will look it up, and I will be contacting my officials anyway. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Mick. Julie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. My question is about Justice Kavanaugh, and I wanted to know two things. One is he starting to turn a little towards the liberal side, or is he staying true to the conservative values? And then the number two question is, with all of the, you know, court now with Cohen being put to jail for his apparent lying in all, which he did lie, but why isn't the ladies that were lying about Justice Kavanaugh, why aren't they faced with some jail time for what they did? What's the problem with our justice system that Cohen would go to jail for lying, but not these ladies?
That seems rather unfair, doesn't it, in that regard? And yes, there are the opportunity that Justice Kavanaugh had earlier this week to accept this case on abortion has been. I've seen the alarms from many conservative groups in that. We will talk about it briefly tomorrow with Matt Staver on the Crosstalk program as well. But he, along with Justice Roberts, refused to accept a case before the U.S. Supreme Court that would allow states to deny funding to Planned Parenthood. So it was a troubling decision that many saw, and I've seen just one source coming out saying that there were some other merits in the case that was not the right case to come before the court, but we'll get Matt's perspective on that, Lord willing, tomorrow. We have Scott in Wisconsin. Scott, you're on the air. Hello, Scott. Okay, let's try Mark in New Mexico. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. I only have a statement, basically. You know, no wonder discord and chaos and judgment's coming to America. I just overwhelmed by what we're hearing today.
Yeah.
We just simply got to get back to the Word of God and
we do
think on things which are good and pure and perfect and loving and good report.
Amen. Amen.
As it says in Philippians 4:7-8, we need to come back to Christ. They're the deceived.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your call here today. Indeed, it's folks. We had a spiritual problem across the nation, and certainly it's imperative that our hearts are right before the Lord to be salt and to be light, and certainly to walk faithfully before Him. And folks, we got to get back to being in the Word, praying, to get back and sharing the gospel with others and stop this political correctness that's going across this world today. Let's be more concerned about being biblically correct. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.